There's a pastor who tells the following story. I served in a rural Indiana church as a student. In reading the minutes of the church council some years ago, I came across the following entry. Elder Smith recommends we hire Mr. Johnson as our student minister. He has a background in music and a history of outstanding youth work. Music and youth are two areas of church life where we need improvement. 18 months later, there was another entry. It said, Elder Jones made the motion that we fire Mr. Johnson, our student minister. The man spends too much time working with the kids, and it seems all we do is sing during the worship service. We need more preaching and someone to work with the older people. Today, as we continue the series that we're going through in our Advent series, which is entitled Hope is on the Way, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. And you, if you don't have your Bible with you, there'll be an insert in the bulletin that you can follow along in there. Today's message is titled Hope in the King. Our scripture text, it goes like this. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciple to ask him, Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about him, about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So John the Baptist is in prison, and he sent his messengers. See, Mr. Johnson, in this first story, first illustration, he didn't know what to expect from his church council. He tried to please them in one area, and then they changed their expectations of him. John had the same problems with Jesus. John had preached that the Messiah was coming. He told the people to repent, to change their ways, or they would go to hell. But then Jesus comes, and his preaching is one of compassion, one of love. And John doesn't know what to expect. So he tells his disciples to go to Jesus and ask Jesus if he is the one, if he's the Messiah, if he's the one who is coming, or should we look for another? See, John had doubts about who Jesus was. Are you the one? He wasn't sure that Jesus was the one. He wanted to check it out. See, as he sat in jail, he struggled with what he had heard about Jesus. He questioned. He had doubts. He wondered. See, John might be thinking, Lord, where did I go wrong? I did what I thought you wanted. I said what I thought you wanted me to say. You told me the Messiah was coming, but where is he? Where's the fire? Where's the axe? Where's the judgment that he's supposed to bring? And why? Why, if he's here, would he let me stay in this place? I've heard rumors about the one called Jesus. I thought I knew my cousin pretty well. I remember that day in the Jordan when I baptized him. What a glorious day. I knew it was all beginning then. See, God's whole plan was being put into action. But where is he now? Why isn't he doing what I said he would do? Is he really the one, or should I look for another? You see, wondering, having doubts, is that okay? Do we shy away from these questions of doubts? As Christians, do we say that doubts or questions of faith are wrong? Paul Tillich points out that God does not stand aloof or apart from our questioning. Rather, God is actually in the struggle of doubt, making himself known through it. Doubt, therefore, is a vital part and element of faith which justifies. Now, in his book, A Sign in the Straw, Pastor Richard Hoffler asks, who of us have not cried out with John, are you the Christ, or shall we look for another? When life gets tough, we see innocent people suffer. The bad so often succeed while the good fail. When we face a world that is locked in the death grip of one meaningless war after another. When we choke on pollution. When we stumble over wrecked lives from alcohol and drugs. Who can help but cry for help? Who can help but cry out, if you are the Messiah, why this? Must we? Shall we look for another? Then he goes on and he asks again, when will we learn that faith does not have all the answers? Faith is a risk. Faith is a life of trust, not of certainty and security. God never promised to answer all of our questions. God never promised life without stress. He promises, and he gives only himself, with all of the dangers and the risks of personal encounters. He goes on and even further states, our hope, not faith without doubts, but faith within doubts. Not the answers we possess, but who possesses us. We may doubt God, but God never doubts us. We may not know God, but he with absolute certainty knows us, each and every one of us. This is the gospel. This is our life. This is the love that will never, ever let us go. So John had his doubts. He questioned, he wondered, but he did not stay in those doubts. He sought answers. He sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the one, if he was the Messiah. And look at the answer that Jesus gives him. Jesus says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus answered John's question, not with just words, but he tells the disciple what has been done in the name of Jesus. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the list went on. The good news of God has been brought to the earth. And that is what Advent is all about. It is about Emmanuel, God with us. We look forward to the babe that is going to be born in the manger. See, Jesus came not with the grim news of just repentance, but with the gospel of the good news, which says you are forgiven. You are to be made whole. You are cleansed. Frederick Buechner says the following in his book, Peculiar Treasures. Where John preached grim justice, and he pictured God as a steely-eyed thresher of grain, Jesus preached forgiving love and pictured God as the host of a marvelous party, or maybe even a father who cannot bring himself to throw his children out even if they spit in his eye. Where John said people had better save their skins before it's too late, Jesus said it was God who saved their skins. And even if they blew their entire bankroll on wild living, like the prodigal son did, it still wasn't too late. Where John ate locusts and honey in the wilderness with the church crowd, Jesus ate whatever he felt like in Jerusalem with as sleazy a bunch as you could ever expect to find. Jesus was telling John and his disciples, look around you at the evidence. Decide for yourself. What does the evidence show? Have the blind received sight? What about the blind man that Jesus met on the road and he picked up some dirt and he made it into a paste and he put it on his eyes and restored his vision? Ask that man if Jesus is the one. Ask the millions of others who have been blind to the truth about themselves and about God, but who have found that Jesus opened their eyes. Ask them if Jesus is the one. Ask me, a kid some 40 years ago who was filled with anger and violence, lashing out at anybody I could. My brothers, my sisters, friends in the church, youth group, my mom. Heading down a very dangerous and deadly road. And God got a hold of me. And look where I'm at 40 years later. And ask me if Jesus is the one. See, Jesus, he did not fit John's expectations. But Jesus said loud and clear through his actions that he was indeed the Messiah. The world was changing. God's great plan of salvation was unfolding in the world, and John did not understand it at first. I wonder what John thought when his disciples did return with the news about Jesus. Did he now believe with certainty that Jesus was the one? Did he see the gospel of salvation as it was unfolding on the earth? Could he sense the hope, the life, the salvation that Jesus was bringing to all people? I certainly hope so. But you know, there are some people who cannot see God's redeeming work in this world. They cannot see the changes that people make. At an early morning Bible study, someone remarked, if God would take one of the towns down and outers and change that person overnight, it would do more to convince us of his presence than anything I can think of. And one of the pastors who was present at that meeting said, what about Bob? You see, Bob had been an alcoholic, hopelessly so. He drunk himself out of a job, out of his family, out of the town's respect. And then a new preacher was assigned to this Methodist church in the small town. That minister struck up a friendship with Bob. And through his influence, Bob started going to these AA meetings. Soon he was sober. After about 3 years, Bob was back at work, back with his family, back in the church. After 10 years, he was a leader in the community. He was a lay speaker in his church, and he was a successful businessman. God had been working, redeeming in Bob's case. But because it happened over a period of years, people missed it. But indeed, God had dealt with Bob as a whole redeemed person, redeeming his soul, his relationship with his family, his job, and redeemed his relationships with the people in the town. God is indeed redeeming the world. What about JD, Some of you might remember him, a man who stood before we had the fence up, stood out there and yelled at us through the door and through the windows. God got a hold of him. And before God took him away, you could find JD in Hawthorne, standing on the street corners, talking to people there. Ask JD if Jesus is the one. You see, sometimes it's right in front of us and we can't see it. Can't see the forest for the trees. We must stop and look and feel and experience God's redeeming work all around us. You know, sometimes God will actually use us to do that work. Sometimes He uses us in the most unassuming ways. In the mere presence, the touch of a hand of God can help someone, can help redeem someone. Joseph Bailey, he wrote in a book entitled A View from the Hearse. So it was after he experienced the death of his three children. He says, I was sitting, torn by grief. Someone came and talked to me of God's dealings, of why it happened, of hope beyond the grave. He said things I knew were true. I was unmoved except to wish that he would go away. He finally did. Someone else came and sat beside me. He didn't talk. He didn't ask leading questions. He just sat with me for an hour or more, listened when I said something, answered briefly, prayed simply, left. I was moved. I was comforted. I hated to see him go. You see, Mr. Bailey, he recognized God in the presence of that comforter, that guy who came to be with him. You see, that's what Advent is about. We look forward to the babe coming. We look forward to the Messiah. The worship team is going to come up and lead us in a song, What Child Is This? And maybe you're out there with your doubts. Is he the one? Look around you. Look at the lives. Yes, you're all looking. They know where they're going. You'll catch on in a few moments. Look at the lives around you. Is God redeeming? Can you see him moving? Even in some of the things that people have shared during our prayer time today. God is still here. God is redeeming this world. Jesus is the Messiah.